building, I guess?
No, freestanding is like it's in the front yard on a post, or, and it was lit.
I'd like to put that back if I could. I mean, you know, whatever was existing would be great.
If he needs a variance for that, I'd like to do that now also.
Yeah.
Okay. But we don't know where it's located or height. We don't know anything to say. That's the problem. You just can't say whatever you want.
Where the old one used to be.
How about the old one was?
How big was that?
Freestanding sign. I'm gonna write and change it if the board says different. Freestanding sign is approved, but meet the. Are you talking about dimensional?
How big is possible though? I think it's 20 square feet. Is what the ordinance of the town is.
Well, it'd also be the height. You have to meet the height requirements too. I mean,
so like right? A 5x4 or 8x3 or whatever.
Yeah, but then.
Does anybody have any idea how big the former sign was? Yeah, I know. The former sign was probably 100 square feet. It's a restaurant.
I think it was about
20. It was a 20 square?
Yeah, it wasn't
super size.
No, it wasn't enormous.
I pictured some giant thing. You said if you needed a bigger one, yeah. That has to apply, correct. But if I stay within the point or something.
Yeah. Anybody have a clue or recall what Mr. Lubner's, maybe by chance, since he might even be here tonight, report was the next case about the, had to do something about the property was to be 6 feet above grade. Is that because the building was going to be raised from the parking below? Is
correct.
Yeah. Yes. Is that why we dealt with that?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so that's not applicable here.
What zone is this?
It's an R2.02, I believe.
R2.02, that is it.
There was a concern last time about the gas meters. They were going to stay in their current location, but would be protected by the type of bollards since they were close to the street. Is that... okay, continue that same approach.
Is that a variance or
no? But it was apparently a concern.
I think it was part of that. Must have been part of the site plan. And this is not.
Yes.
We don't have a site plan.
We don't have a site plan.
True. I will skip it.
Mr. Baxter, Mr. Stockton just advised me that the bollards protecting the gas meter shows on one of the photos. I believe it's A9, so it's already there.
Already there? Oh, okay.
So, fine.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't see anything else in the old one that would be a concern here. I see. Stockton can do both planning and maybe engineering thrown in? Or
he's only doing planning, but you're certainly free to ask him engineering questions.
All right. That's all I have. Job. I don't know if the board had other questions or not.
I can discuss signs.
Oh, the signs. Let's do the signs.
In the ordinance, there's an Appendix A. Within Appendix A, there's design criteria for signage. And for a ground sign, for example, freestanding signs should be designed in concert with buildings that identify. They should not overwhelm the building with setting a certain size and proportion. I don't see anything specifically. I don't see anything specifically as far as dimensions or height.
Okay.
When it refers to height, it just tells you how. how they measure height. So looking quickly, I don't see any specific criteria.
Okay. What was the other question?
Parking,
right.
That's good. In regards to parking, I'll start with the residential.
Okay.
Two spaces per unit, so 4 units.
That's four.
Now, with the restaurant use, it's under the category of
seating, isn't it?
There's two different ways to calculate, and it requires a larger value. So for eating and drinking establishments, one for every 4 seats. So based on 100 seats, if that's
25.
And the other criteria is 8 per 1,000 square feet, which would be about 24. That calls almost 3,000 square feet. And it says whichever is larger. So
that's
25. However, if you continue in the section, it says commercial parking deficiency variance of parking deficiency fee.
How much we contribute?
If one of condition two is if on site, condition 1B, adequate on site parking plus acceptable off site parking to meet requirements. So that could consider off site or street side parking as part of that calculation. It then continues to say if
does off site count public parking on the street?
It says acceptable off-site parking.
So street parking is acceptable.
That's not what that ordinance meant. That ordinance,
area.
I'll refer to that as the Wind and Sea ordinance. That's
yes.
That's where that came from. I'm pretty sure.
Where they could pay a parking deficiency, right?
Well, yes, that's the alternative.
It continues to say if the parking requirements cannot be met, they need a parking space variance subject to MLU. Well, and quotes a section.
Right.
As part of the variance, the developer has the option to provide a plan for limiting patron numbers to the equivalent of actual parking spaces provided. That's one option. If the above plan is not provided or accepted by the planning board, the developer must contribute a one-time fee to the Borough Highlands. $50 per space for one to nine efficient spaces. So that's the range we're in. 4 plus 25.
16 to 25, nine, right. So it'd be 9 times 50. That's $450. That's it?
And $500 per space for those deficient 10 or more spaces.
So it's not onerous. All right, so what's that ordinance number, please, on the big
you'll see it.
21-65.14 All Street Parking.
That's 65.1. 1.14. So he needs the variance and the parking.
Well, you get a choice. You can reduce. I don't know by anybody in the right mind would reduce the seating. That does great.
You pay the $450.
You pay the fee.
The one time fee.
Yeah.
I'm game for this one time fee. Well, do you have a choice of using the 8 spaces per 1,000 square feet?
No, you have to take the more onerous requirement on the applicant.
They both come out to about 25.
One's 24, one's 25. So you'd
use
25.
Because we don't know at this point whether they're really going to want to put 100 seats in.
So we're pretty close. Let's say I do up to nine, I think, is what the requirement was. From 0 to 9 was that cutoff point?
Well, 1 to 9 was $50 a space. 10 or more is $500 per space.
Okay, obviously we'll stick to the 1 to 9. So the 9 plus the minus 4.
It's a matter of...
when did Zeke afford that?
But if you've got to reduce the number of seats, it's only...
Right.
It's only 500 for the number 10. It's not
500. Oh, not for the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
so you're looking at
no more than $950. Hopefully we can keep it to 450.
I understand. So it's a tenth one, it goes to 500.
Right. Okay. So the first nine
are 50 bucks
a spot, and then 10 and up.
I got you. Okay. So move the garbage.
That's true.
What did that leave us? A 9 minus 12, so 21.
I think it's over
10. 90 occupants, I think, right?
Yeah. You have to give them can put in there. Right now you don't know.
Oh, it's huge. Just 3,000 square feet down there. That's a big place. It's a big restaurant.
It's always the closest yeah. Out of there.
It's got the space.
And I never went when it was open.
The amount in accordance with the parking efficiency fee of $50 per space for 1 to 9 deficient spaces and $500 per space for those deficient 10 or more spaces.
So if it's deficient over 10 spaces, 10 or more,
it's $500 per space.
It is, so it goes back to $500 per space over 10? All right, so we'll say 9 spaces.
It's a lot cheaper, obviously, if you stay.
I'll go with a 9 and we'll work it out and, you know, figure it out.
Making some assumptions here, but assuming the board favorably approves this and there are 16 spaces, that will be the threshold figure for the calculation. If the construction official says there's really not 16 here, there's only 13,
right.
Then you'll have to do that. So we're hearing the case and deciding it based on the testimony, which is 16.
Okay.
So it turns out it's different, then there's a different calculation.
Yeah, and you said the acceptable off-site parking, how far away does that have to be? So it could be
newer.
It could be another parking lot on the other side of town.
Yeah.
You could be
so then I think they have to produce a lease or some proof that they are.
Right.
And there's no city lot, no 2-block radius or anything like that.
But doesn't that, that's what I was thinking. We've got the lot down behind your other property.
Yes. And how about the one down by the beach? There's that one lot down there?
That's a borough lot. I mean, we'd have to go out bid it.
No, the whole point of the thing is to have, that for commercial people to have. Their own parking. That's
right.
The point of the ordinance.
But we couldn't just say you could use a car.
I don't see it as a big problem here, considering what we're talking about. I mean, the numbers and the dollars are certainly low.
Yeah, right.
So he needs the parking variance plus the fee. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We should shoot for that.
But he doesn't need the fee if he's got off-street parking, acceptable off-street parking.
Yes.
He'd have to produce a lease or something.
Yeah, he'd have to have it, just like they did.
Yeah, the $450 the one-time fee, I'll do that group. I'm on the wrong that.
You're not going to get a lease for a parking lot that's going to cost
less than $450.
Under $450.
Right. So I'm willing to make arrangements for the $50 per non-space.
Okay, so those, my questions have been addressed. I don't know if anybody else has any.
Okay, no one else? Could we open this up for public?
Are those questions?
We have questions. For this witness, we can have questions for this witness from the public. Okay, all right, so we close public and... We can go on to the next witness.
Yeah. Raise your right hand, Mr. Stockton. You swear the testimony you give before the board with truth, all truth, and nothing but truth.
I do.
And your name, spell your last name, give your address, please.
Richard Stockton, Stockton, 17th Avenue, D Atlantic Highway.
And Mr. Stockton is being produced as a witness in what fields?
Mr. Stockton is an expert witness on the subject of planning.
And the board has previously qualified Mr. Stockton in the past. He's testified numerous applications. So
waive the voir dire. Mr. Stockton, have you had an opportunity to review some materials in connection with your testimony here tonight?
Yes, I have.
Can you tell the board what those materials are?
I reviewed the zoning permit application. I reviewed the borough tax map, the current zoning map, previous zoning map, and current zoning and land use regulations, as well as goals and objectives. Plan element of the master plan dated October 2004.
Did you personally inspect the site?
Yes, I did. I was there on the 26th of January. I took the photos that had been previously entered, and I walked the neighborhood, observed the character of the neighborhood, quantified the properties that were residential type, commercial type, vacant or public.
Can you describe the subject property as you observed it?
The subject property is 50 feet in width by 200 feet in depth, 10,000 square foot in area. On it is a three-story structure that was at one time a restaurant and tavern on the first floor and residential units on the floors above. To the rear of the building is a asphalt-paved parking area, which by my count is 13 parking spaces.
Can you describe the surrounding neighborhood?
The neighborhood is primarily residential. There's no question about that. 85% of the properties, 85.7 to be exact, of the properties are residential.
Within what area, Mr. Stockton?
Within 200 feet, there are 49 properties in total, 42 of which are residential, 2 are public, 2 are vacant, and 3 are commercial.
And does this portion of the R 2.02 zone stop at Valley Street?
Yes, the division between what is today the B2 zone and the R2.02 zone is Valley Street, yes.
The block on which the subject property is located is the block on Bay Avenue between Cedar and Valley, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then going south from Cedar is in the B2 zone.
Going south from Cedar to Valley is in the R2.02. Once you cross Valley Street, then you're in the B2 zone.
Okay. Did you review the master plan?
I did.
Did you find parts of the master plan that were pertinent to your opinion tonight?
In particular, I went through the goals and objective plan element of the master plan. Under that, there is a commercial heading. Item number 2 in the commercial heading states that basically it is the goal and objective to continue the improvement of commercial properties in the borough. Under the same heading, item number 8,
what was the first item number?
Item number 2.
What page is that on?
GNO-4, the goals and objectives plan element.
Okay, thanks. And the next one was a number, and I'll feel what they say later. What's the number of the second one?
The second goal was item number 8. Which speaks to encouraging redevelopment of commercial properties that need rehabilitation or improvement.
And are you familiar with the recent history of this particular property?
The approximately 10 or 11 years ago, I think that Dr. Gimpy's, which was a combination restaurant and tavern with residential units on the second floor. Before that, I believe there was another tavern. The name escapes me.
Did you review the municipal land use law to determine the strengths of this application?
Yes, I did. Through the municipal land use law purposes, I'm looking in particular D2B, which speaks to the safety to secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other natural man-made disasters. My feeling is that this particular property, once it is reconstructed to the present day code, certainly makes it a much safer structure for the neighbors and the tenants. And under D2I, speaks to promoting a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangements. And again, if we are remodeling a structure, it certainly is more aesthetic and pleasing in appearance than the vacant building, which is currently deteriorating.
Do we know what the outside is going to look like? I don't know. Unless I missed that. So
no. We don't have those plans yet.
Okay.
Mr. Stockton, do you have an opinion as to whether the proposed use meets the objective of the Highlands Master Plan?
I believe that it does. It certainly is taking a run-down, deteriorated structure and restoring it to a very pleasing building, which is actually on your main street and highly visible. It's kind of a shame that the structure has sat as long as it has, but it's certainly an opportunity to improve both the appearance and the safety of the building itself.
And do you consider the proposed use to be in conformity with the purposes of the municipal land use law, which you just reviewed for the board?
I think that it does, most definitely. Of course, beyond that, the preservation of neighborhood character is always a valid planning purpose. The building exists today. Cleaning up and remodeling it certainly enhances the neighborhood, making it a better option than the present vacant building with its inherent hazards. If it were to be used as its primary zoned use, which would be residential, would require basically removing the building in its entirety. And if it was used the entire property for one residential unit, it would be certainly out of character with the neighborhood because of its size alone. So I think the denying this application to enhance this particular building, I think, would be in the category of zoning it into inutility, which I don't think that's a...
Are you familiar with the positive criteria in connection with use variances?
Well, positive criteria in this case, I think, would refer more to the hardship because of the zone change.
Hardship to the owner or contract purchaser?
Hardship to the owner, yes. In this case, the owner and the contract purchaser. I think that this, unquestionably, at one time in this building's history, it was in a business zone. It is not today. It's in a residential zone, and that certainly creates a hardship.
And are you familiar with the Medici case?
Yes.
And under the Medici case, are you aware of the proofs necessary for an applicant to obtain a use variance?
Well, I think that it deals primarily with the that the variance which is being sought is not inconsistent with the intent and purposes of the master plan and zoning. I think in this particular case, the zoning had been changed during the life of the building, and that in itself has created most definitely a situation which is most difficult for the owner of the property.
And just to cover the last area, even though this is somewhat repetitive, can you deal with the negative criteria and the question of whether there's substantial detriment as a result of this use?
Well, the negative criteria basically says that no variance or other relief can be granted under the terms of this section unless such variance or other relief can be granted without, number one, substantial detriment to the public good, and two, will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance.
In your opinion, does the proposed use meet the negative criteria?
I believe that it does, simply because the building exists today. This is not an application to construct a brand new building at this site. The building is already there and has been there for many years. And I feel that the intent and purpose of the zone plan has changed during this building's history. And under those conditions, I feel that it does not substantially impair the intent and purposes of the zone plan, nor does it provide a substantial detriment to the public good. I think the building in its present condition provides a much more substantial detriment to the public safety and welfare of the neighborhood.
I have no further questions.
Can you comment on the particular suitability of the lot to this use?
The particular suitability as it stands today?
Well, what the why this proposed use is particularly suited to that lot?
Well, it had been developed many years ago for this particular use. It was expanded by the owners when it was Gimpy's to expand the front out towards Bay Avenue more, create a more a nicer entrance to the structure. So I think it has always been. It has always been developed and used as a tavern and a restaurant, and I think for that purpose it was developed, and the parking area in the back was developed as an accessory use to it. So I think that's uniquely qualifies it for this use.
Any questions? Is there anyone?
Mr. I have one along those lines. Mr. I'm sorry, how do you say your name again?
Doc Olu
testified earlier that, and this pertains to the particular suitability of that use, testified earlier that we have a niche industry here in Highlands, in the restaurant industry. So this could be consistent with it forwarding the economy of Highlands by continuing to improve that industry.
I would think so, yes. One of the things mentioned in the tail end of the goals and objective plans from your master plan, towards the end of the, it spoke of weaknesses and strengths of the town, of the borough, and item number 10 of that is excellent restaurants is listed as a strength.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to question this witness? Okay, seeing none. Public comment.
One more thing. I have a listing, and the photo in the listing is of the old Gimpy's with the then freestanding sign.
Uh-huh.
So why don't we mark this? I believe it would be... I don't have to call Mr. Dackle back. I believe he would like to have a sign of approximately the size of that freestanding sign.
Yeah, I remember
that size. Yeah, it's about 20. So is that something we refer to say we would grant permission for that kind of design?
Well,
okay. Are there any comments from the public? Okay, none. Okay. Motion to close the hearing.
Second.
So move.
Thank you, Art.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So, do we have any discussion or looking for a motion?
I move to grant the use variance, the bulk variances, sign variance. That's what we need, right?
If the resolution is going to say the signs will be a freestanding sign will be permitted in accordance with the ordinance has actually. There's going to have to be a site plan of this, not today. I mean, so much the use of grant, it's going to have to have something to base this all on, the construction department, not just narrow. So that they could probably, if they want to do something that's not allowed, they could always put that on the site plan and discuss it then.
So they have to definitely come back to us.
I don't see how you can avoid the site plan. I can grant a commercial use without a site plan.
Well, he's not changing the structure. He's only doing cosmetic stuff inside and putting the siding on. I'm fixing the,
he didn't say the sign. We didn't hear. I don't know what's going on the side.
The side. He's going to put.
I thought there wasn't any. Did I miss that?
You said there's not, that they haven't planned what the cosmetically it's going to look like outside.
They don't know what it's going to be.
So the only change was the relocation of the door to the residential units.
And the back parking lot. That's all.
Yeah.
As far as the building is now, this whole side has siding already. All I'm going to do is wrap the siding around the front, wrap the siding on the left, and paint this and paint that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no metal paint.
And the sign is already there. There's a,
well, I'm not objective, I just didn't recall it.
I don't think it needs a site plan.
I mean, I would think you would still
submit
whatever he's proposing to the zoning officer. You would make a determination, but if it's a sign and it meets the ordinance.
Yeah, then you just get a permit.
Right.
So I don't know that we're necessarily bringing a variance because we don't know what. Variances from, we don't know what.
Okay, so we're not doing a sign.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're granted requested
the use of bulk.
Use of bulk variances.
Right. Okay.
All right. Looking for a second?
And wait, yes. Are we going to include? Let me make a note of something. Just see if I wrote something down here. It may not be anything.
The payment of $450 for the parking deficiency.
Well, I'll deal with the parking. Parking variance is included in your motion, right?
Yes.
So I'll use that as part of the wording. I'll take care of that.
Okay.
No, I don't have anything.
And that the door on Cedar should be.
Is that a recommendation?
No. I think we leave that construction. Yeah. There's other issues there that don't require a variance.
Correct. They're code issues.
All right, we're looking for a second.
I just got one question. I don't know if this pertains to the variance or not, but whatever lighting he puts on the outside, like in the parking lot, the light over, doesn't have detriment to his the residents around it. Is that going?
Well, he's going to need. He's going to
fall under site plan.
Yeah. Right. What site plan?
I know. I know. That's the point that you've been trying to make.
Yes.
We're just using existing lighting that's there now. Yeah.
Is there lighting in the back parking lot? I mean,
there's fixtures there. There's not bulbs in it. It's probably
this. When you get your idea of everything you're going to do, you come in for your building permits, whatever you have to do, the lighting, you may need electrical permits. Any of those permits, they all come under the umbrella of the construction department.
Okay.
You're going to have to tell them what you want to do. And if there's problems with it, you'll have to address it then.
Right.
I understand Mr. Kutosh's concern. But we didn't take any testimony on that issue, but it frequently when you have commercial uses, especially in close proximity to residential uses, there's a concern of light spillage onto the other residential properties. They don't want to be like, you know, going to bed with a spotlight on. Maybe some people do, but most don't.
So
that's typically a concern. I don't know how we're going to address that other than to indicate that
well, this wasn't a site plan review here.
That's why I'm asking. I don't know if it goes in resolution or not.
Well, when he goes for his building permits, they'll look at the lighting on his plan, and if there's...
If it's not in compliance.
If it's not in compliance, they'll let you know.
If the Biltmore first certificate of occupancy, either one, the construction and zoning procedure.
For CO, they're going to make me require the whole different things, requirements, right?
You're going to have to, your electrical is going to have to go and your
plumbing. So I'm sure they'll tell me what the lighting should be, and I'll make sure whatever.
And your architect, you're going to have to submit architectural plans to architect. Okay. Include that.
That's the code officials, that's something else.
Yeah. So look for a second.
One second.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kutash. Roll call.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Kutash?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Radcliffe?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Yay. Now what?
Next thing is...
Annual report.
Annual report.
The thinnest annual report I think I've ever seen.
Well, that's because we had
the thinnest. Wasn't much going on last year.
I know.
And there wasn't even a meeting last year.
There was.
It
feels good.
Tonight and McGowan. Okay. Oh, this date goes with this
item. Metro was 2000. Metro Google was 2012. Probably not being next year's item.
Yeah, but I just figured.
It's just a report.
Who are we reporting to?
Council.
Okay. I move that we approve the 13-month 14 months.
Could we hear?
Over by Mr. Gallagher.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox.
Thank you.
Mr. Fox?
Roll call.
Yes.
Mr. Britton?
What?
Yes.
Mr. Kutash?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes. Okay. Any questions on the January 5th? Minutes. If not, then we're looking for a motion.
So moved.
Offered by Mr. Fox.
Second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Kutash. Roll call.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Britton?
Yes.
Mr. Kutash?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes. Okay. Motion for adjournment?
So moved. So moved.
Is there anything else in you?
That's okay. It.
So moved.
Okay, yeah, all in favor? Seconded by Mr. Fox. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Yay.